Now on Radio 3, it's time for Robert Sandel and Mark Russell to introduce more of music's farthest reaches in Mixing It.
Hello, tonight we trip the light fantastic in the company of the Muscovite techno band Species of Fishes, Greek composer Yannis Xenakis, German ambient duo Oval, the Chinese singer Dada Wah, and the Belgian absurdist Moondog Jr. Plus, representing the UK, we're joined in person in the studio by the man whose music we just played a snip of. That was the Aphex Twin, or as we're allowed to call him, Richard James. Richard, thanks very much for coming in. You've seen what we're going to be playing in the programme later on. What do you think of our choices this week? Do you recognise anything or see anything you like?
Yeah, there's a few sort of familiar names kind of thing. I don't know any of the track names, but I recognise a few of the people.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing what you think of them during the programme. But to start with, it seems like only yesterday when we played a track from the latest album by those three improvising lads from Manchester, Stockhausen and Walkman. Almost unbelievably, here's another CD, and they promise yet another one for January. But this one's called Stop. It was recorded live on tour this year, and they're keen to point out it's all improvised. This track's called Ice Worm Cocktail, which the Stocks, or is it the Walkmans, describe as extra subtle. Oh dear, more trouble down at the amusement arcade. That was Stockhausen and Walkman, a track called Ice Worm Cocktail from their new album Stop, and that's available on their own Hot Air label. And we'll put all the details of the label on our playlist. What did you make of that, Richard?
Yeah, it's pretty sorted. It's crash bang wallet music. That's what I usually call music like that.
Do you ever try stuff like that?
Yeah, I did when I was younger with, you know, delay pedals and tapes and stuff.
What about improvisation? I know you play live. Do you improvise any of your stuff?
Yeah, it's split into about half at the moment, going into a studio, just mucking about and not really knowing what I'm going to come out with. And the other half is sort of knowing exactly what I'm going to do, sort of song-wise and stuff.
And would your improvised stuff come out anything like that?
Probably would have done, say, 6 years ago or something.
So this is young person's music?
I think so, yeah.
Interesting to see what the Stocks have to say about that. Anyway, a regular listener, Dave Taylor, wrote in from Purbrook in Hampshire asking if we'd play some of La Légende d'Ear, or The Legend of Ear, which is an electroacoustic piece by the Greek composer Yannis Xenakis. Well, always keen to oblige, as we say. In fact, I hadn't heard this piece before, so I was very pleased to get the opportunity to sit down with it. And what can I tell you? Well, it's an extremely intense but involving listen. It's a single 46-minute piece, although it's broken up into discernible coloristic sections. And it was originally conceived to accompany the opening of the square outside the Pompidou Centre in Paris. This was in 1978. And Xenakis wrote it on 8 different tape tracks between 1977 and 78. He actually trained as an architect, and mathematically devised construction in his music is extremely important to him. And when I was listening to it, I was aware of how well the sections all flowed into each other. So we're going to pick up on the piece somewhere near the middle. This is an extract of La Légende d'Hier by Yanis Xenakis. Thank you. a short extract of Legend of Ear, a 46-minute electro-acoustic piece by Yanis Xenakis, a Greek composer. And if you want to get that, it's on the Disc Monten label. Richard James, or Aphex Twin, as you're better known, quite a lot has been made recently of your sort of interest in the modern classical world. The Music Machine got Karlheinz Stockhausen to listen to some of your music. Are you actually interested in contemporary classical music?
Yeah, and that was really wicked. I really enjoyed that. I'm a sort of big fan of scraping noises and stuff at the beginning. It's really good. It must have been a right laugh if they actually used that for the opening of that building.
Well, actually, I think he didn't get it ready in time. I think it had to be delayed. I mean, it's quite a long time ago, 77 to 78, to be coming up with sounds like that. I mean, when you listen to things like that, do you put them in a historical perspective? Do you think of how? I wonder how he did that.
Yeah, but it reminded me a bit of Forbidden Planet, a little bit. And that was done in the 50s, and that's better than that, I think, for sort of electronic-y type sounds.
What's Forbidden Planet?
A film, and it's all electronic, total electronic score. So it's not that good for the time, I don't reckon, in a historical sort of way. But it is really good.
So what about the business with Stockhausen recently? What did you make of all that?
Well, I was just sort of game to sort of, I don't know what the sort of programme was, you know, what they wanted to do kind of thing, but I was sort of, you know, into it.
I suppose the idea was that lots of people like yourself name-check people like Stockhausen and contemporary classical composers, and they wanted to see what people like Stockhausen thought of it. And do you actually know what he thought of your work?
Yeah, I sort of heard a few comments and stuff, which are sort of quite funny, but sort of, you know, it was a bit disappointing because I sort of could have predicted what he said anyway kind of thing.
What did he say?
Just sort of, you know, sort of arrogant attitude kind of thing. It's just what I probably thought he'd say.
You boys don't listen to me carefully enough kind of thing.
Yeah, but I didn't really, because I think they were trying to make out it was, you know, the world of techno had been influenced by Stockhausen, and I don't think it has at all, because I don't reckon 99% of sort of techno bods will have ever heard of him, so.
It seems to me the only similarity is it's electronic, and it sort of ends there.
Yeah, it's just like a parallel bit of world, really. Now, I don't think it really anything to do with techno.
The interesting thing is, though, that the people who listen to your kind of music are now starting to listen to Xenakis and Stockhausen, so that's really the overlap. I think it's the interest on the part of the audience.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they're both sort of sonically interesting, I suppose, so, you know, that's the sort of common ground for me anyway.
Now, you may remember the name Oval from the show of a couple of weeks back when Robert Hampson of Maine kept mentioning it, and here it comes again. Oval are a German electronic duo of the ambient persuasion whose armoury of techniques they list as CD sabotage, improper use of MIDI, hardware criticism and frequency politics. And this orally translates into a sound which is sculpturally precise but abrasive at the same time. Uneasy Listening Jazz is the category Oval nominate for it. See what you think. From their 1994 album Systemisch, this is The Politics of Digital Audio. Thank you. Oval and the Politics of Digital Audio from their album Systemisch, which is available on the Meal Plateau label. Any comments on that one, Richard? Do you recognise them as competition?
Yeah, I'm quite a fan of them, actually. I think ever since their first album, because they just skip through loads of tracks off Ambient Works 2, like on the CD player or whatever.
They're skipping through your CD?
On the first one, yeah. It's just practically the whole of selected Ambient Works 2. Which is, yeah, it's really, I really liked it. I could never work out if they were actually sort of giving me a compliment or whether they were saying this is a load of rubbish, so we're just going to skip all the way through it. And...
Did they send you a check?
No, I didn't want one. I really enjoyed it. It's really good.
Right, next track. Yona Kit is Japanese for Jonah Well, and it's also the name of the group we're about to hear. This group's a one-off collaboration. If I had to classify their sound, I'd probably describe it as something like speed abstract metal. Guitarist and shouter KK Null is joined by fellow Japanese singer Yasuko Onuki from Melt Bananas. Of course you've heard of Melt Bananas. Everyone's heard of them, haven't they, Robert? Now, the rhythm section is American, with the experimental guitarist and former Mixing It sessioneer Jim O'Rourke making his trademark unusual fretboard noises. And the whole thing is given a hefty left-field rock sheen by producer Steve Albini, who's also worked with Nirvana and PJ Harvey, amongst many others. So this is the first blasting track from the album, and it's called Franken Bitch.
Yona Kit with a track called Franken Bitch from the album Yona Kit LP, and that's on the Skingraft Records label. Now we're back over to Richard James, our guest on today's programme. Richard, we seem to be playing your music almost every week sometimes here on Mixing It, and the thing that I'm most struck by is your extraordinary prolificness. I mean, you seem to be working all the time, is that right?
Yeah, every day.
And how many, do you finish a track every single day then?
I used to, but now I've take more time with tracks these days, so it usually takes 2 or 3 days currently, I think.
And have you always got a project in mind? Are you writing for an album, or are they just things that you really want to get out of your system?
No, I just write music and sort of experiment sort of all the time, and then think about making albums and singles later to earn my living.
Have you got your own studio?
Yeah.
And actually, I've read quite a bit about you making your own instruments. Is that true?
Yeah. and I keep all that in my parents' house in Wales.
So when you, I mean, how often do you record with the instruments that you've made yourself?
What I tend to do is sort of go and take samples and record lots of little bits that'll last me for the sort of next sort of 4 months kind of thing, and then come to London and use it all.
So why did you just decide in the first place to build your own equipment? What was wrong with the stuff you bought in shops?
I didn't have any money to start off with. That was why I started to make it, basically.
Did you also feel that the sounds that shop-bought equipment made weren't so interesting?
That sort of came later, really, because once I'd had the money to buy shop equipment kind of thing, I'd already learned how to build instruments, so it's kind of used it to my advantage.
So do you not use any conventional equipment at all in your studio when you're making records?
Yeah, I use things like computers and, you know, for sequencing and things like that.
But you don't use any conventional synthesizers?
I do, yeah.
The secret's out.
Where did you actually start from in terms of the style of music that you wanted to make? I mean, you've been associated a lot recently with this catch-all term ambient, but where did you start off from?
Just from a sort of sonic sort of experimentation sort of point of view. I was just really interested in sort of piecing sounds together and making little rhythms and things like that. I think that's the sort of first angle sort of got me interested in it.
And was this based on anything you'd heard by other groups?
No. I just always like creating stuff, you know, just making stupid tracks on tapes kind of thing when I was little, and just used to enjoy it.
Were you surprised by how much your music and your sound has taken off? I mean, you remixed one of your tracks with Philip Glass recently. I mean, that must be something of an accolade for you.
Yeah, sort of 50% of me sort of surprised, and the other 50% think it's normal kind of thing.
How did it work, the thing you did with Philip Glass?
Just got in touch with him and thought, you know, see if he was into orchestrating one of my tracks. And he sort of sent back a demo, which I thought was rubbish. And, you know, I said I didn't like it and stuff, and he seemed to be quite offended and sort of went away and did something else, and then I thought that was really good, and I sort of ended up going over there and finishing it off with him.
A big orchestra.
Yeah, it's a 40 piece, I think. You know, I just ended up telling them how I wanted them to play things and stuff.
Because presumably most of the time, if not all the time in the past, you've been working on your own, so this was the first time you actually had to go out there and...
Yeah, I mean, usually I just, you know, if I want to change something, I just twiddle a knob or press a button, so it's quite weird, you know, to have to talk to people.
What about soundtracks? Are you interested in doing those?
Yeah, I sort of had a few and done a few things, but they've all been turned down. It's pretty difficult to write for Hollywood, really, if you've got a sort of no compromise kind of attitude.
And you've kept that attitude when you've been working on big films, have you?
Yeah, and it's really difficult. They just treat you like a total sort of object kind of thing, and it's very difficult to sort of work to their sort of standards kind of thing.
Now, you are doing something live at the Festival Hall in December, aren't you? Are you playing live to a film?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully. Because you were supposed to do it last month, and what went wrong there?
They asked me if I wanted to do it, and I said yeah, and they sort of took 9 weeks to send me the videos, and they sent it 5 days before the show kind of thing, so I didn't really have time to do it.
One of the things I've always remarked on when I've listened to, well, not all your music, but a lot of your music, you're very fond of using harsh sounds, almost sounds taken to the point of distortion. Is that to do with your equipment, or is that a particular interest?
It gives a track a lot of energy if you distort something. You know, I like tracks with energy in them, I suppose. So I suppose it's just aggressive, and I like that in music.
You've got a new EP.
It's out already, I think.
Hangable Auto Bulb.
Yeah.
Talk to us about this one.
It's this junglish kind of thing, and inspired sort of...
You like jungle?
Only about 1% of it, though. The rest of it's still rubbish, but... 1% of it at the moment is really, really interesting.
What has that 1% got that you like?
I'd just get into it from a sort of rhythm point of view, and just really sort of anal, intricate, sort of programmed rhythms. That's why I like it.
And tell us about the track we're going to hear, Children Talking.
It's mainly inspired by my mate, Luke Vibert, and the sort of jungle tracks that he's been doing. That's about the first thing that's inspired me that's sort of modern for about 5 years, I think.
Mashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes. mashed potatoes. Why do you hate mashed potatoes?
Mashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes. Why do you hate mashed potatoes?
Thank you.
Music by our guest there, the Aphex Twin, or Richard James. That was the first track from the new EP. The track's called Children Talking. And the EP on the Warp label is actually called Hangable Auto Bulb, and it's an anagram, we've just been told. But he won't tell us what it is, but Robert's drawn the circle, and we'll try and give you the answer before the end of the programme.
I don't think there's much hope of that, but anyway. OK, new topic now. Moondog Jr., a Belgian mad jazz quintet built around the vocalist and guitarist Steph Camille Carlens, a busy fellow who also serves as bass player with the band Deus. What I like about Moondog Jr. is their anarchic sense of humour, which is revealed in their freewheeling attitude to ensemble playing, and also in the ridiculous titles they dream up. Take their new album, for instance, Every Day I Wear a Greasy Black Feather on My Hat. Well, it's hard to resist playing things with names like that, so here's a slice of it. This is Love 609.
Moondog Jr. sounding very like the Lounge Lizards to me. That track was Love 609 from the album Every Day I Wear a Greasy Black Feather on My Hat on the Island label. Richard James, does jazz hold any interest for you?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't really sound like jazz to me, that. It sounds more like rock.
Did it? But,
yeah, it's all right. I'd get into it if I was drunk, I think. Music like that.
Sounds like they were drunk and they were getting into it.
Right, a few weeks back we played a track by James Young, and he'd been in Moscow for some months writing a piece called Last Train to Taganskaya, which was featured in Radio 3's Between the Ears series. He remixed a track from this and we played it. Well, the band that he hooked up with and worked with in Moscow was called Species of Fish, and we've just got hold of their latest album, Songs of a Dumb World. In fact, it's their first release outside Russia, and it's well worth getting hold of. And this track's called Numb World. Thank you. Numb World by the Moscow-based collective called Species of Fishes, and that's from their album Songs of a Dumb World, which is on a label which has the unusual name Corm Plastics Introductionary Paperbacks. Richard, do you recognise any of the sounds in that?
Yeah, cheeky underground resistance, bit of acid.
And what did you think of the whole thing?
Yeah, it's all right, actually, yeah.
Anyway, well, thanks for coming in and talking to us.
And that's right.
Just a couple of your gigs to publicise before we go. There's Disobey Club on 16th of November, where you're playing, and also making an appearance at Oval, the group we heard earlier. And on the 15th of December, the Aphex Twin, doing some live accompaniment to a film by Jean Cocteau, Blood of a Dead Poet, and that's at London's Festival Hall. So, if you want details of tonight's music, you need our playlist. Send a stamped rest envelope to Mixing It, BBC Radio 3, Broadcasting House, London W1A1AA. Details are on CFAX, page 652, or you can email us to mixing.it@bbc.co.uk. And I'd like to say thanks very much to Richard James, the Aphex Twin, for coming in and talking to us.
And here's another thing. That EP of the Aphex Twins, Hangable Auto Bulb, that we were told earlier, Richard told us, was actually an anagram. Well, I've managed to decode it without his assistance, I hasten to add. And I'll give you a clue. What it actually involves is one of the names that he uses occasionally as an alias. And since I worked this out, we've worked out a competition for you. If you can also decode Hangable Auto Bulb and tell us what it actually stands for, and send it on a postcard to the usual Mixing It address, marking your entry Aphex, the first three correct answers will win an EP. Now, before we go, we've just got time for some music by the Chinese popular vocalist Dada Wah in collaboration with the Shanghai composer H.E. Shuntian. The album's called Sister Drum, and it's apparently been inspired by the folk music and Buddhist culture of Tibet, items the Chinese have taken a close interest in recent years, ever since they decided to run the country. Well, leaving aside the hazy political background, Sister Drum really is almost as spiritually uplifting as it claims to be, and the vocal arrangements, which start off sounding rather Enya-ish, end up in another world altogether. Good night.
Good night.
Home Without Shadow by Dadawa, ending tonight's Mixing It. The presenters were Robert Sandel and Mark Russell, and the producer was Philip Tagney.